Okay, today's shir is going to be Irfu Shlema for Sara Bas Rachel and Natalia Simcha Bas Audrey Chana. They should both have and Miriam Bak Victoria, they should all have a Irfu Shlema, the schus of our learning. It's also a Zeicha Nishmas for Avram Shmuel Markowitz, who's the father of our CEO, Reb Shia Markowitz, and the Levi's this afternoon, and the Shamas Olhaben and Aliyah. Okay, Parshas Vayeshev, Tavshanayim Ches, and of course we're now going to deal with the drama of Yosef and his brothers. And the pasuk starts, Parsha starts, Vayeshev Yaakov Beretz Meguri Aviv, Beretz Canaan. And Yaakov is in the land of Canaan, the land of his fathers. And of course we always note that it says Vayeshev Beretz Meguri. That Meguri means a temporary dwelling, that they all looked at as a temporary dwelling. Not as somewhere that's permanent. Wherever a Jew lives, as we've learned, he's a loyal and faithful citizen of his country. But at the same time, he's also a loyal and faithful citizen of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we consider ourselves Megure of it. And it says, Vayeshev Yaakov, so Rashi says that Vayeshev means that he wanted to be b'shalva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, not in this world. Tzaddikim don't get shalva in this world. Tzaddikim are here in order to have challenges and to overcome things, and especially the Avos, because everything the Avos do is something that we learn for ourselves. We have to learn from the Avos. We learn from what's the Avos tomb. So it says, Eilat tov is Yaakov Yosef ben Shvayas Reishana Hayarayas Ech Batzayim V'unar is b'nei Bila v'zb'nei Zulpa Neshe Aviv. And he brought the evil report, as they called, he brought the Bosom Ra to his father. And it's interesting that we mention how old he is, and I haven't seen this, but normally we don't talk about people's ages. If you know, we always figure out how old Yaakov was when he came, when he went, because we figure out that, by, you know, that he was here and he was there, and you know, we do it, and his father was this age. When people are nifter, so we mention ages. So, hi, sir. But we rarely mention the age of somebody when they were here. And I'm just thinking, Lule de Mistafina, is that perhaps when we say twice that he's 17 and he's a nar, because people at that age are very, so to speak, you know, we can't say this, it's above our level, but for our level we can understand that people are black and white at that age. They see things, and if they see something which is wrong, they want to correct it. The person who's older becomes a little bit more, sees more gray. You know, okay, you know. It'll be good, it'll be over. But a person of a certain age, they're very, very dynamic. And for Karat, if you take a look, most of change in the world came in people in their 20s and 30s. That's when people talk to change the world. You see that. And the most discoveries are made by people in their, you know, it's Grandma Moses is famous because she did her paintings when she started when she was older. But everybody else really is when they're younger. So it could be that this is a way of saying that because he was 17, because he was a nar, he saw things, there was a kanois there, a starkite there. And therefore he went and he said that he bought some robe, which he meant totally lataif. He meant that his father should know what's going on in order to correct his brother's behavior. And Rashi tells us, and this is what we're going to talk about, is the Bosom Ra. So Rashi says, whatever he saw bad, you take a look at the first Rashi, it wraps around the page from 107 to 108 in that positive base. Shaya Eichlin, he said three things about his brothers. One, Shaya Eichlin, Avram and Achai. That they ate limbs from a live animal. Okay? And they were mezalzim, they treated with disrespect, without the proper respect, the sons of Bil and Zilpah. Likrais and Avadim, to call them servants. So they called their brothers Avadim. This is what he was reporting. The third, v'chashudim al arayis. And the third thing is that they were chashud, that they did immoral things. And this is what he brought back to his father. And of course, the Chazal say it wasn't so. There's a famous sefer called Parshas Drachim, and the Parshas Drachim shows that everyone was a machlokes between him and the brothers, and the machlokes basically boils down to were Klal Yisrael Jewish or not. So certain things that can be mutter for somebody who's not Jewish is also for somebody who's Jewish, or vice versa. So he says, Yosef held this way, and the brothers held that way, and that's how they learned that really it was machlokes and halacha. That's the famous way that the Parshas Drachim looks at it. Others is that, you know, he saw things, And it's open to, you know, to misinterpretation what they did, but really they didn't do anything. They did not do something wrong. And he was punished for all three, says Rashi. What was the punishment? Mida k'neged mida. Al Aver min achai, that he said that they ate Aver min achai, says Vayishkud du Sirizim. Later in Pasuk Lamed Aleph it says that they shechted a goat in order to, you know, to make the blood, to pour it on the thing, to make it look like he died. So they realized, wait a second, he's punished because he said that they ate Aver min achai. You see, it's not true. V'loch l'chai, and they didn't eat chai. And because he said that they called their brothers servants, Levin Nimke Yosef. Yosef was sold as an Evid. And the third, he said that they were over in immorality. No, that we know, but Tisa Isha, Eshes Adonav. Then he had the Maisa with the Eshes Potiphar. So Rashi says the three things that he was punished was all Mida Keneged Mida. As we know, the Torah always does everything Mida Keneged Mida. And because he said these three things, he was punished for all three. So says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, I understand two out of the three, without, I don't understand the third. That he said that they called him Avadim, he was sold to an Evid. Okay, he was sold to an Evid. He spent years in prison, remember? I mean, he was sold. It was terrible punishment. And that he said Arayas, okay, I understand that too. The Eshes Potiphar Maisa was not a pretty Maisa. And he was punished, okay. But he says that he sold Avram, that he said they ate Avram and Achai, and he saw that they did Shechita. What's the punishment? Why he was sitting there, he saw they shechted a goat. So where's the punishment? It's a very good question. You ever heard the question?
Why did he say such things altogether about
that? So that's a different shaykh. So it's because, you know, we weren't there. You know, as the Rambam famously says, we weren't there, so we don't know. But as I said at the beginning, he meant to be Misak, and he wanted them to be good, you know, be good people. And he felt he was doing the right thing. Remember, he was the trusted son of his father. They were already out, you know, doing stuff. They're out in the world more. And he was still home with his father. And he saw things that he felt needed tikkun. He said, these are the shiftei called, these are
the
people
that...
So that's what exactly what is that all about? Okay, there you have to get to Parshas Drachim. Anyway, so he answers. Listen to this. This is what Chaim Shmuel Levitz says. This is great. It is so true. He says, "She'ein l'adam einish gadol yaiser." There's nothing worse. Me'etzem hivacho b'tuusay, when he finds out that he made a mistake. The worst thing. What do we beat ourselves up the most for? Is when we find we did something, you know, dumb. We did something we shouldn't do. When he saw they were shechting the goat, he realized at that moment, I was choshed the b'chinam, and look what I did. Look how bad it was. He says the very fact that he was choshed them and he was wrong, that was the worst punishment. That was bad a punishment as the other two. To go and do something, and when you're a tzaddik like a Yosef and you're trying desperately to do everything right, and you realize you did something, not only you did something wrong, but you caused damage to another person because they went back to the father. That's something that was a terrible punishment. They zet habitos opolapia ain on yechayim l'sharet sarav yegayna, says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz. We can't imagine what it is. In Yiddish, he says, he talks when the brothers came to Yosef, and Yosef said the words, you know, I'm Yosef, Oida Vinu Chai, right? So it says the brothers, mamish, they fainted.
They were scared.
So Zakt Reb Chaim on that, he says, a mensch can leaven, a ganz of leaven in toyos. You can live your whole life with a mistake. And when you're faced with that mistake, that you lived your whole life with a mistake, it's the most painful thing in the world. So they said, for the last 20 years, I've been living with a mistake. And you've got to be very careful. When we talk about Dan Lekav Schus, that's really what it's all about. Is that sometimes you live in thinking a certain thing on a certain person, you have it out for them, so to speak, and then you find out that the reason is because they had a legitimate reason and you just never knew it, and all of a sudden you find out, you feel very bad. You said, I had it for that person all these years, I didn't realize. So he says, he brings a story, once said a story from the altar from Kelm, and we'll tie it into Hanukkah now. The altar from Kelm was unfortunately, at the end of his life, he suffered from heart of problems, and he was very white. He didn't have enough blood, it seems. He had an iron in his blood whatever. He was not well. But on Shabbos, he became, he lit up on Shabbos. It's like a different person. On Shabbos, he was filled with simcha, he was filled with freilichkeit, and you can see a difference on him. One Erev Shabbos, they came to him, they said, in those days there was a newspaper called Hamelitz. The explainer, I guess. Hamelitz was named, and it was an apikoros newspaper. It was a paper run by the Maskilim. And it would use me mecharif and megadif. Klal Yisrael used to insult them and all sorts of terrible things they wrote. You know, what we call Yiddish antisemit. And Erev Shabbos, he got the besura that the editor died. So that whole Shabbos, he was, instead of being freilich, he looked very sad. And you think, you know, the editor died, like the Wicked Witch is dead, you know? everyone's going to be excited. The witch, this editor, Azar Rush, and he's dead. So what's up, Shabbos? So they asked him, he said, what happened? We thought you were going to be like, so happy. The mamash, this Eicher Yisrael, this Rush is gone. What are you not so happy about? So he says, you know, son, he says,
the Levaya of Mr. Markowitz's father, I just think that a bunch of people together should grab cabs downstairs. I don't think we need to call car services.
Okay.
The scene, whoever.
Okay. So we'll forgive you. Forgive me. Okay. So he says, said the altar, he says, I feel bad for this man. Because he lived his whole life thinking, Les din v'les dayin. There's no Ribbono Shel Olam, there's no future, there's no accounting, nothing. And now he's getting up to Shemayim, and he's being judged. And in that moment, he's going to realize he lived his whole life as a mistake. He says, I feel terrible for him. Bigger Rashi is it, but he doesn't deserve that. That he should come up to Shemayim and be that? He says, so he said, Yehudiyu. He's Jewish. Ve'ekhlo yispalitz libi b'chashvi al plotzes libi. He's a yid, and he lived such a terrible mistake. I couldn't have simcha when it's such a Jew who's now going to go through this in Shemayim. So he says, beautiful. He says, Antiochus, the Hellenizers, right? In the time of Yavin. So he had all of these people. Do you know, Judaism is like, you know, outdated. We've grown up always, you hear this over and over. They're saying it 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, the Yavanim came, the Hellenized came, and says, time to update the whole thing. We got new ways we're going to do it. Forget the way the Ribbono Shel Olam made it. We got a new way to do it. And he says, and what happened to them? Do you know what the word Greek's first name is? Ancient. When you think about Greeks, ancient Greece, they're ancient. They're not even medieval. They're so long ago, they're ancient. And he says, what happened to all of their books? And all the svarim and all of the things that they did, nothing. It's all dust. It's all gone. And Klal Yisrael comes on. So he says, can you imagine if today they brought Antiochus back and he would take a look and he'd come to, you know, Lakewood or Monroe or Borough Park or Muncie and he'd see what's going on. He would say, oh my gosh, this was what I was trying to get rid of. Look at Baruch Hashem, look what's going on. It's wonderful. So he says that's going to be that they're going to have such chalishas adas when they come back and they see all of the things that were there. He says that's the pshat. He says that's the way we take a look in Chanukah. That's what we're celebrating at Chanukah. We're celebrating a victory, not just the victory that happened then, but a victory that's happening today. And we have a chizuk because we see the same people, their ancestors 2,000 years later are telling us the same thing. Come back and visit me in a couple hundred years, and we'll find out what happened to them. Maybe even not. Maybe like in one generation, they'll all be gone. But those people who are kaifer in the Torah, they don't have a kiyum. And Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael always has a kiyum. So living a life in Tayyis, that's the hardest thing. So this was the punishment for Yosef. Yosef's punishment was that he was chayish at his brothers, that they did something, and he was wrong. That's a punishment by itself. Arias is a punishment. Eish Potiphar. The other one is a punishment. Each one has its own punishment. But here the punishment is that he knew that he was wrong. Okay, that's number one. Let's go take a look now in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph. We're staying on page 108. And the Pasuk tells us like this. Ve'yakanu bo'echav v'yaviv shamar esadavar. The brothers were tremendously, tremendously, they were mekana Yosef. They couldn't get over their kin of Yosef. So we look at it, it's something that we want to stay from away from 100 miles. Kinna, look what Kinna did. Kinna is a terrible thing. But the truth is, Let's think about it. Not so fast. Sometimes maybe there's something there. So he tells a story in the city of Lodz, where my mom is a Lodzer. So he comes, there was a big famous rabbi, his name is Rabbi Yochai Meisels of Lodz. I'm sure you heard of him. Anybody here of Rabbi Yochai Meisels of Lodz? Okay, he was famous because, one, he was a tremendous oisher, he was very rich, he owned many factories in the city, employed thousands of people, and he was also an enormous Talmud Chacham. He was a Mamash Torah Gadol of Makom Echad. So in the shul where he went, so here's how the aliyahs went. For Shlishi, the Rav went. The Dayanim and the Ziknei HaKehillah, the Chashav people, got Shishi. And the Bar Mitzvah boy or Yortzeit got Maftar. So in the city was a Prusta Mensch, a regular person who became very, very wealthy. He became very wealthy. And he bought himself a seat on the Mizrach of the shul. And he started, you know, throwing his weight around. So he, one week, he comes to the gabbai, and he says, you know, I want to get shishi. I'm a rich man, I give a lot to the shul, I want to get shishi. So they say, well, shishi goes to the dayan, or the zaken of the year, goes to the big talmid chachamim, you can't have shishi. He says, listen, sonny, you know, I got a lot of money, I'll drive you out of business, I'll ruin you, and whatever, you know, these type of people say. And he says, that's it, I'm not, you know, forget about it. Okay? Come Shabbos, so the Gaboyim decided, we're not going to put up with this, we're not going to give him. Say, so come up to Chamishi. Chamishi is the aliyah before, and it's a regular aliyah, which, you know, everybody gets. So the guy comes up, and instead of going to the Sefer Torah, he walks over to Gabi and gives him a frask. Smacks the rich man who wanted shishi and only it didn't get it, and they gave him the chamishi, they gave him the less important aliyah, got very angry because the gabbai is the one who gives out the aliyahs. I don't maybe in Washington it's called something else. I don't know. The gabbai by us, the gabbai. What do you call the gabbai? Who gives out the aliyahs by
us?
Yeah,
we don't call gabbai.
What do you
mean?
The person gives out the aliyahs.
Yeah,
she's saying it her way, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever.
We call it the gabbai.
Yeah.
Okay, so the man, he comes, the rich man who didn't get the aliyah he wants, comes and gives him a frask, gives him a smack. So of course, you can imagine, like this happens in shul,
sure.
The whole place is in uproar. That's the end of davening. No one's davening anymore. You know, maybe they davened, who knows? Everybody's like going crazy. And the gabbai are obviously very upset, especially the one who got the patch. So they came over to, after Shabbos, they come to the house of the Rav. And they say, Rebbe, this was not a fun episode. And the truth is, we go through this every week. We haven't had any hitters. But every week, it's, what do we do when there's two bar mitzvahs? You know, you've all heard the story of the bar mitzvah. He gives up the other bar mitzvah boy, and there's two yortzeit. We have an idea. He says, what's your idea? Forget all this covet stuff. From now on, all we're going to do is every aliyah is the same. It doesn't matter if it's one or it's anybody else. Everybody gets the same aliyah, and that's it. We won't have any more problems. So Rabbi Yochaim says, wonderful idea. You know, it's a mom, such a good idea you came up with, but no good. I don't agree with it. Not a good idea. So they say, why? What's wrong with the idea? So listen to what he says. This is about a genius. He says, Hevinu na, narva ayim kasher anoshim boyim lebeis haknes kidei levakasham kovid. It's a horrible thing that people should come to Beis Medrash to get covid, and that's what they have in mind. Should be coming down to the Rebbeinu Shel. They're coming to get covid. I will nourish to the sign, but it's seven times worse. Imanoshim yafsikul levakish kav beis haknesses. If they stop coming to the beis haknesses to get covid, that's even worse. He says, what do I mean? He says, covid is part of the human condition. Everybody wants it. Everybody desires it, and they're going to get it somewhere. If we provide it to them in the Beis Knesset, that will be the focus of their life. That's where they'll come. They'll come to Shul. They'll get covered there. If we don't give them covered in Shul, they're going to find somewhere else to take that covered. They're going to go somewhere else. Oh boy, you say, Yechapsu es b'chutz, they'll find covered, but they're going to look at it somewhere else. Oh boy, Yechablis es yachusim v'yashlim es achaser. They'll get out that feeling that they need for covered. And if you take a look, it's so interesting. Every movement in Klal Yisrael that is against the Torah come out all started by somebody who wanted a bigger position within Klal Yisrael and was rejected for it and ran out and did something else. You take a look, if you study history, you won't go through it. Study history, almost every single one is because they wanted covet, they didn't get it, They made their own Beis HaMikdash. I mean, they made their own shul. They made their own religion. That you name it, it's all because they didn't give the kavetz. So Rabbi Yochanan said, Meisel said, kavetz taka, not, you're right. Maybe it's not the greatest thing in the world. But everybody's going to want it, and they're going to find it no matter where they go for it. And if we don't give it to them within the type of Dalet Kaisei Beis Medrash, they'll go find that covet somewhere else. It says, that's Pshat in Kina Soif from Tar B'Chachman. Kina Soif, that's a Kina, that's the Kina that we have to gear. That Tiber Kina we have to take, let's take it in a good place. So he says, when Yaakov Avinu bought him the Kesinus Pasim, he did not hold back because the potential that somebody might be Makana. It was important for him to give it to show that this was important, to give him that covet because he deserved that covet. It was on them to hold back. It didn't work. But they didn't. He says there's actually tshuvas, whether you're allowed to give prizes. You know, Pirkei Godes Yisrael, under the leadership of Mrs. Salem, gives out a tremendous amount of prizes. Can I know there are thousands of kids who learn Mishnayos and learn all of these things, and they get prizes for learning it. So there's actually a Shiloh was asked, are they allowed to get prizes? Maybe they'll be kinna, will cause kinna from other children. The answer is no. The answer is mutter. Al-Bein Abonim, Hetira Rabbasena Hanokas Kavru Prasim Limitstainen, Ki Mutav Shis Icharu Belimudim, because let them get the covet in their learning, because if you don't give it in their learning, they'll get their covet somewhere else. They're going to go to somewhere else to get the covet. Because covet is something that we all need. Even if it's where you sit in the shul, you sit in the vabish, you sit in the back, you sit in the front, I'm sure that stuff goes on there too. Why did I get put back there in my seat on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? I'm not sitting over here. And it says, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. That's the human condition. We all want it, we all need it. Let's give it in a tyrannic way. Let's give that covet in ways that we can. So I think it's a tremendously important thing that when a person has a Shabbos Suda, that to try and remember to give that everybody at that table should get some covet. Everybody should be asked to say something. Everybody should be asked to maybe add. Nobody should be ignored, because that's part of who we are. To ignore a person is to kill them. That's mamash, to take away their humanity, to make them a mace, to take away that sense of covet, that sense of person. And it starts very young. Take a 2-year-old and you invite, since my Enochlich are triplets, so you know this thing. If you take two into a room and you don't take the third one into the group, to the play group, it's like, who knows? I mean, what's going to happen? Because they feel a sense of, everyone has that sense of needing covet. We need, it's part of who we are. Cesar Chaim Meisel is brilliant. Give him the covet, but give it to him in a tired dick of place. It'll cause you some problems. Okay, we'll work with the problem. We'll deal when the time comes. But not to give it to the Minnesota to get place, that's not going to work. Okay, let's continue on.
Because they
were eating without shechita. Uh-huh. So when they shechted, he realized he was wrong. Uh-huh. The feeling of being wrong was the punishment. The feeling that I was chayshet sami b'ksherim. All this time, I thought that, and I acted on it. I didn't think it. I went and I told my father. It means I told him, Pashat Lashon Hara. Mamash Lashon Hara, because I see I was wrong. I mean, I misread. It means I misread what happened.
Yeah, but when did he realize that?
What? When he saw the Shech, the Gedeezer.
And they didn't go there and apologize? I mean, they didn't say...
The mill was selling him when they shut the Gedeezer. They're about to sell him.
Oh, I don't.
They weren't listening when he was begging them. It says that they didn't listen. It says later on they did tshuva, not because they sold him, because they hoped they were right for selling. They did tshuva that they were hard hearted when he begged them to let you know to leave him alone. That's what they did tshuva for.
Because
they felt bad for that. Yeah, because they hold him as chaimisa, but to be cruel to nobody, cruelty is not right. Okay, let's continue. Let's go on to pasuk chavav. And it says in Pasuk Havav a little bit later, right from the page one more time to 110. It says Vayaymer Yehuda el Achav. Now we're getting they sold him, and or they're about to sell him. And Yehuda turns to his brother. He said, Ma betza ki nargis achina v'chasinu z'damo. What good is it if we're going to cover his blood? What is the purpose of doing such a zoriyusdik a thing if we're going to cover up his blood? So what does that mean? What was Yehuda trying to tell them? So he says, it's very interesting, on Hanukkah, what do we call Yavan? We call Yavan, it's called Chayshach. Right? Chayshach HaPnei Sahayim says Chazal Zeh Yavan. When it says Breishas, that there was Chayshach, he says that's Yavan. He says, what's the Chayshach of Yavan? What does that mean? What is the Chayshach of Yavan? So listen to what he says. The Gemara says like this, that when Rabbi Yochanan, because Shechol Rabbi Yochanan Zakim, Rabbi Yochanan Zakim was ill, so Bo Talmid of Levaka, they went to be Mevakim. Amr Beno Berchenu, he said, Rabbi, give us a bracha. Listen to the bracha he gave him. Amr Lem, he writes, Shei Meirah Shamayim Aleichem, Ke Meirah Basav Adam. I give you a bracha that your fear of heaven should be as great as your fear of people. So Amr Lo Talmid, so they were a little insulted. Ad Khan, that's it. That's a bracha? That your fear of Shemayim be like your fear of people? So he says, halavai, that it should at least be that much, right? Halavai, that you should have that much as B'nai Adam. Halavai, Sheikh Mayer, Basar Adam. Because most people are not even that. When you want to do an Aver, what do you say? I hope nobody sees me. How can you say, I hope the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't see me? Because you're more embarrassed. It's interesting. He says two rayas to this. One is by Plato. He says, Plato, I heard the story of Aristotle, but I guess it's by Plato. Ancient Greeks, the Alta Greeks. Yeah, exactly. So Plato was caught doing something which was not proper. So they went over and they said, Plato, how could you do such a thing? It's not proper. I mean, what you did was mamsh, not right. So he says, when I do these things, I'm not Plato. Not me. You know, I do this when it's dark. It says Nebuchadnezzar, the famous king, Nebuchadnezzar conquered the whole world, right? He destroyed the base of Mikdash. It's the most powerful thing. So Tzidkio once saw him eating, tearing a limb off of a rabbit and eating it. So Nebuchadnezzar was very embarrassed. Don't tell anybody. He tells Tzidkio, maybe made a promise, don't tell him, I'm embarrassed. I is the most powerful person in the world. He's embarrassed because we do things in private that we're embarrassed to do in public. So he says, that's the word over here. It says, Chayshach zu malchus yavin, because in Chayshach, when nobody is watching, that's when people do things that they're not supposed to be doing. Chayshach was the idea that we can now take those things which were formerly done in private embarrassment. It says, yavin, you can do it out in front of the whole people. See Greek statues, because that was the Greek philosophy. So he says a very interesting story. He says, by Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, the famous Rabbi Hashem Yom Kippur, he learned 18 hours a day. He never stopped learning, always sitting and learning. So 3 minutes a day, he used to read the newspaper because he was the God of Ador. He had to know what was going on because people were going to be asking him, Shilas, what's doing? So for 3 minutes, he read the newspaper. He used to read on the Shtender. So they went to him, and they said, why are you reading on the Shtender? Why don't you read it like in your room over there? What are you reading like in the newspaper? He tells them, I want to show v'ona k'dei laharos, she mutter lein kol. If it's mutter, it's mutter in front of everybody. V'im osr gam b'chadri chadarim. If it's mutter, I can do it in front of everybody. If it's osr, I can't do it even in private. I want people to know if what I'm doing is mutter. Because otherwise, can you imagine he's doing it in his room, and somebody will come in, they'll say, you see, he's no different than anybody else. He reads newspapers like all, you know. So therefore, he wants them to know, it's mutter, I'm mechuyev to do it, because I hold it's mutter, because I need to know what's going on in the world, because I'm the God of Ador, and I have to paskin for people. So he says, that's the zach. So the ochem, akadoshim, he says, they wanted to go. The ochem also, that's what Yehuda was saying. Ma betza v'chasinos domo. If it's right what we're doing, everybody should know. We should put out, paskin, the whole world should know. And if it's wrong, we shouldn't do it. So to go and do it and not tell anybody, that's wrong. To go and do it and fake out Yaakov Avinu, that's wrong. That's what you say. Ma betza, what's the betza? The chesinos domo. And I'll just say one final little nekuda, a beautiful zach. And take a look at Pasuk Lamed Beis very quickly. Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis.
110.
Okay, there we go. Oh, thank you. Okay, it says V'yishalchus k'soynes apasim yavi al av v'yomru zoyf matzano haker no k'soynes binchim loy. Recognize, is this your son? And of course the yikireh k'soynes b'ni chay roch alasu, and he cries and he mourns. V'yikre yakas simlasu pasuk lamedalit v'yosim sak b'masna v'yisavul al b'no yomim rabim. He mourns for many days. And then it says, and his father cried for him. So it's Mashman, the Pasuk, that means who? Yaakov cried for him. Says Rashi, no. You know who says, and he cried for him? His father, Yitzchak. Not Yitzchak cried for him. Who's he crying for? For Yaakov. Says Rashi, because he knew that Yaakov is still alive. So he was misavul, because remember Yitzhak knew that of all of this. He was sworn to secrecy, so he didn't say anything. But he was misavul, but he cried because he felt the tsar of Yaakov. He felt how Yaakov was so much a tsar. That's what Rashi says the sforno, an additional thing. You know why he cried? Because it says a person can only have nevuah and have the shechina when he's besimcha. When he's not besimcha, you can't have nevuah, you can't have the shechina. He cried because Yaakov would no longer be besimcha and would lose his nevuah for the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what the sforno says. So therefore he says, you take a look and you see the importance of having to be besimcha in order to get to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And I think it's something that we have to think of ourselves. But Yitzhak cried for Yaakov. Why? Because he couldn't have nevuah. Why? Because he wasn't besimcha. This is one of the things, the hardest thing. The Vilna Gaon says that the hardest mitzvah in all the Torah is Simchas Yontif. To be happy and besimcha for 2 days straight, that's very hard. Because there's always something that happens to us along the way that can take away our simcha. But to be besimcha, samach bechagecha, says the Vilna Gaon, that's the hardest thing. So we see the importance of trying to be besimcha as much as we mesameach ourselves, do things. We once had a convention, Rabbi Feiner once spoke about different ways to always be besimcha, because we're besimcha, many good things happen. Those ones, we feel better, we live longer, and we're able to come closer to Ribbono Shel Olam. Halavai, Ribbono Shel Olam help that we should always be besimcha, b'tuv lev, and we should always serve the Ribbono Shel Olam and always be close to Him. Next week we will continue the Hanukkah, so we'll try and talk about Hanukkah and again about the Joseph and his brothers. Thank you so much.